Hello, hello, and welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Carolina, and I am so excited that you're listening today. Welcome to the pod. And today's episode is going to be a little bit more low-key, a little bit more chill, but I also think a little bit more personal, which hopefully you'll find interesting. I realized that I hadn't really talked that much about my experience with wedding planning and with being a bride, and so I wanted to just do a little solo episode and catch you guys up on how that has been, because the wedding is so soon. I'm really, really excited. I am recording this on a Monday, and then on Wednesday, I'm going to Florida to stay with my parents there for like 3 to 4 days. And then on Sunday this week, I'm going to Brazil. I'll be there for about a week and a half, and then it'll be the wedding. So I wanted to just kind of have this episode as a way for me to reflect on the experience of being a bride, on the last few months of my life, and also to fill you guys in on it, because I feel like I haven't really talked that much about it at all on the podcast, and also even on socials, though I've posted a little bit about it on Instagram and TikTok. I really didn't make being a bride my whole personality or a big part of my content, so I feel like this will be a fun episode to just kind of like give you guys the tea and give you guys a little bit more insight into the things that I've learned, things that I didn't expect, and just how it's been overall. So with all of that said, let's get into it. I'll see you guys on the other side, and let's get growing. Okay, so as we jump in, I just wanted to kind of set an intention on why recording this episode is special to me. And I feel like a big thing that is coming up is that, you know, Inner Growth as a podcast, as a brand, it's a lot about deepening your relationship with yourself, right? Improving your connection with yourself. And when you're going through the process of getting engaged and planning a wedding and becoming a wife and all of these things, you are transforming who you are. You are growing into a new version of you. You're having to basically be a leader, organize so many things, work with a lot of people, and also keep yourself sane as well as possible, because it is like a second job. And if you've never planned a wedding, it's really hard to really understand what it's like until you are in the wedding planning process. And so it is something that just naturally takes up a lot of your time. So it becomes a big part of your life for a few months or even a few years for some people. And I feel like it's cool to get to share what I have learned from this experience, because hopefully this will be my only ever time being a bride in my life. And so it's a temporary moment that is kind of coming to a close. And I've honestly learned a lot from the experience, but as I said, I haven't really talked that much about it. So that's what we're gonna dive into a little bit more today. But before we get into my lessons and my experience, I wanted to give you guys a little overview on my relationship and the timeline for our wedding, in case you haven't been looped into it or are not familiar with our story. I also do want to record an episode with Pedro, like a little couples Q&A, like story time, that will probably go live next week, so stay tuned for that. But anyway, here's a little bit of an insight into our timeline, and I'm going to try to keep it very high level. But Pedro and I are actually family friends. Our moms met when they were teenagers on a trip to Disney, super random, stayed in touch, and they ended up living in the same city in Brazil, which is Brasilia, and Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. It's also a planned city, and it only has existed for about like 60 years. So around the time that our parents were kids, they were like the first generation to live in Brasilia. So it was a really small town, and like everyone kind of knew each other. So they ran in similar circles, and then my dad and Pedro's mom and dad ended up going to the same college. And even though they were slightly different ages, they did know each other and they did stay friends. So Pedro's mom and dad were at my parents' wedding, and both of our parents got married in Brasilia. And later down the line, our parents both moved to São Paulo, which is the biggest city in Brazil. And that's where I was born and where I grew up. And Pedro also lived a large chunk of his life there. So we were always family friends. We knew each other. We knew of each other. And I always thought he was cute, you know, even when we were little kids. But obviously, it's like so naive. Like, you don't really think much about it. Also, because it's a family friend relationship, you never really think anything's going to come out of that crush. But fast forward, I moved away from Brazil to the US. Pedro moved to Mexico and Hong Kong. We were both kind of living our lives, living in different places. We would occasionally see each other. And then my parents and I eventually moved to Florida. And Pedro's parents eventually bought an apartment in Florida. And so we started seeing each other more because they had this place in South Florida where my parents live. So we started having more family friend dinners, etc. But it was only in 2020 during lockdown that Pedro and I were both living in Florida and our parents' respective places. And we were both single. So we started talking, we started DMing, and then we ended up hanging out for the first time, August of 2020. And then we had our first kind of like date, and it was the first time we hung out without our parents around. And so the day was so beautiful, and we ended up kissing, and then we started dating literally 4 days later. And I remember leaving the beach and being like, oh my gosh, my life is never going to be the same. Like, after kissing him, I knew that my life was not going to be the same anymore in a very beautiful way. And as I said, we became boyfriend, girlfriend 4 days later. And then our relationship evolved from there. I was going into my senior year of college. So I moved to New York right after college. And we were long distance for a couple months until Pedro got into a master's program in New York in the beginning of 2022. So I moved to New York August 2021. He moved to New York January 2022. And then we started living together, lived together for like a year and a little bit. And then we got engaged last year, 2023, in March. We were on a trip to Europe. We went to this beautiful picnic in Madrid that Pedro organized for us. And it was like super private during golden hour. And it was so sweet. It was just the two of us. And we were so happy. And I definitely saw it coming, but was just like so happy to be officially engaged. And after we got engaged and the topic of wedding planning became a thing, we kind of started to talk about it in terms of like when we wanted to get married and where. And both of us knew that we wanted to do our wedding in Brazil because it was so important to us to be where our families are from and honor that part of our relationship. So we always knew that, but it definitely took us some time to get to the actual wedding planning process. But in the midst of all of this, we also knew that we wanted to do our civil wedding before our like big wedding party. And there was honestly a lot of back and forth on what we exactly wanted to do. Because at first I was like, let's just do it as a courthouse wedding. You sign the paper, you're done with it. It's not a big deal. And then leave the rest for the big wedding day. But both of our parents were very, very against that idea because we are family friends and the civil wedding could be a really special moment for us to honor our families coming together specifically and to have it be something really intimate and special. So around the time we started talking about all of this, it was close to Pedro's master's graduation. And Pedro's parents, even though they have their apartment in Miami, they don't live in the US, they live in Brazil. So they were gonna be in the US for Pedro's graduation last year in May. And we were like, okay, maybe we'll do the courthouse wedding in New York at City Hall with our parents there. But you were only allowed to have like two witnesses. So some people were going to be left out and it was also going to be in the same week as his graduation and it was going to feel too jumbled together. So it just like didn't feel aligned. But we did have a trip planned to Hawaii right after his graduation with my parents, his parents, and then my brother and his girlfriend as well. And so we were like, wait, why don't we just do the civil wedding in Hawaii and get our wedding license there and then just do it there? And it ended up working out perfectly, like actually perfectly. And it was so beautiful. So we make up our mind, we decide, okay, we're gonna do our civil wedding in Hawaii. At this point, we had already gotten a marriage license in New York. So we kind of knew that it was an easy process. You literally just have to like fill out an application, then go to City Hall, show them your IDs, and like that's it. And then you get the marriage license in like 24 hours. So after we got into Honolulu, we went in, we got our marriage license. We found an officiant through a website online that was like really sweet and she was gonna do kind of like a love-based ceremony and then she would go and take our documents and like officially file us for like being married in Hawaii. So she also was like able to do the more logistical side of things for us, which was nice. And then I remember we were like landing in Hawaii and I was like, okay, we need a photographer. Like we need someone to document this moment. So I'm like going all over Instagram, trying to find photographers. I find this photographer through Instagram. She wasn't available and then she recommended me to someone else and this person ended up being incredible. So we like booked her in and everything was kind of done very spontaneously, but it wasn't impulsive, you know? Like we knew we wanted to do this. We knew we wanted our families to be there and this just felt like the perfect way to combine all of it together. I also had always dreamed of having a beach wedding, But we knew that when we did our wedding in Brazil, it was most likely not going to be in the beach because we wanted to do it in Brasilia, where both of our families are from. And it's not a beach city. It's kind of like a tropical savanna. Like, it's kind of like dry climate. And even if we did an outdoor wedding, it was only going to be like trees and nature, and it was not going to be a beach wedding. So having our ceremony in Hawaii was like the perfect way to blend, as I said, our parents being there, having our civil wedding be something meaningful with also the beach side of things and the waves and the ocean, which is like one of my loves in this life. And so we did the ceremony. It was beautiful. Tears were shed. It was so special. It was also just like very laid back and relaxing. And the weather was beautiful. We ended up doing some pictures after, which you guys have probably seen if you've followed me for a little while. And then we had some dinner and it was just lovely. And after we did the ceremony, I honestly kind of struggled internally because I didn't know if I wanted to keep this to ourselves and kind of keep the civil wedding private, or if I wanted to tell the world and announce on Instagram and whatever that we were officially husband and wife. And I honestly like went back and forth on this a lot, but I ended up just deciding that I wanted to share it online. And the biggest reason why I thought of not telling my community and my followers is because I didn't want to get things mixed up, and I didn't want people to feel like our Brazil wedding wasn't, you know, the wedding. And honestly, I'm still curious to see how I will feel after this big Brazil wedding, like if this will feel like our wedding, or if it will always feel just like the party and the Hawaii ceremony would feel like the wedding. I'm not sure. I'm curious to see how I feel in about a month once the wedding has passed. But that was like my biggest internal struggle with deciding whether or not to tell the world. But I did decide to post about it and everyone went crazy over it. The pictures were so beautiful and I know it was so special to share. So I'm really glad that the world knows. But that said, you know, it has felt like Pedro and I are husband and wife for a year. Even though we haven't had the big wedding in Brazil, we did have this elopement style civil ceremony. So it does feel like we're married. But the interesting thing about all of this is that, one, I feel like I've confused you guys. And like, it's just a confusing quote unquote situation because I didn't do it courthouse style. So a lot of people are like, wait, are you not married already? And people, you know, just assumed that I eloped and that was going to be that. Again, I also have not talked that much about wedding planning on socials. I've not made it my personality. I've not made all of my content center around this. So I do think that probably contributes to why people are just like, oh, she just eloped and she's married and that's it. But I am really excited for the Brazil wedding and I think it's gonna be so special. We're gonna redo our vows, we're gonna redo rings, and I have obviously a bridal party now, and we're gonna have a beautiful party and a welcome party, and it's just gonna be so fun. So I'm really, really excited to share more content about that once it happens. And something else too that has been interesting about our elopement situation and then now the wedding is that even though Pedro and I feel married, and I do think in a way like a lot of people do see us as married, there is an element of eloping where you are not saying your vows in front of all of your friends and your grandparents and your cousins and your entire family, so they don't feel the commitment that you share as much as you do, and in our case as much as our parents do and my brother and his girlfriend, right? They weren't there to witness it, which is something that excites me a lot about the Brazil wedding, because it'll be a moment where everyone in our life was going to be in the same space. And also all the people closest to us and everyone that we love is going to be able to witness and celebrate our love with us. And I think that's going to be really special. So that's why I'm saying too, like, I'm curious to see after the Brazil wedding, how I feel, and if I feel like the Brazil wedding is like the wedding and the moment that we became married for real. So we'll have to come back to you guys with updates on that in September. But anyway, all of that said, now I'm going to jump into some of the things that I've learned and my experience planning this wedding, and in general, my experience being a bride as well. So I have some notes that I'm going to go off of, and let's just get into it. So the first thing that has been really interesting is that I am planning a wedding in a different country. I don't live in Brazil. And even though I have family there and Pedro's parents are there, I'm not physically there as the bride. So I feel like that at first was very overwhelming to me, as well as figuring out like when exactly the wedding was going to be. So I knew that I didn't want to do our big wedding too far apart from the elopement. So I knew I wanted to get married in 2024, but it took us a little while to decide on the exact date. And we ended up deciding to get married in August because we started dating in August. So we kind of timed our dating anniversary with our wedding, which is really cute. So I'm really happy we decided on August, and I just love Leo season, and I knew I wanted to get married in Leo season because Leo energy is all about having fun and celebrating and romance and just being in the spotlight low-key. So that's also a big reason why I wanted August or late July. So that, you know, was something that at first it took us a little while to decide, but by end of the year last year, so like November 2023, we decided on the date and we sent our save the dates that we made through paperless post and just sent it to our invites. But I will say that a big thing too with beginning the planning process was deciding on the list. And honestly, it was probably the most annoying part because when you're starting to decide, okay, how big is this wedding going to be? Who are we inviting? And you start to make the list, it can easily become a very large list. And our wedding's actually going to be kind of big. We're going to have 350-ish people, like between 320 and 350. So it's a pretty big wedding. But deciding on the list was honestly a struggle for a few months. Like, I think we started working on our list in August, and then we only formally sent out the save the date and decided and locked in a date in November. So we went through a lot of back and forth with our parents, and like, they had opinions on who they wanted to invite, and we had to decide, okay, are we gonna wanna invite like our parents' friends who we've never really met? What's gonna be like the whole decision-making process with this list? And we kind of took our sweet old time to decide that. So by November, we had locked in a list, at least a preliminary list, and also a date. And I think also after a long time of this back and forth and feeling kind of like stressed out about the list, I just decided to let it go. And I was like, you know what? Our parents are excited. They want to invite their friends. Let's let them. Like, why keep fighting against it, you know? So that's what we ended up deciding on. And it honestly was the best decision because it eliminated a lot of stress around the list, which had been bubbling for a few months. So after all this back and forth on the list, who are we going to invite, who are we not going to invite, et cetera, et cetera, we ended up having kind of like a little reunion with our parents in November because it was Thanksgiving. Pedro's parents were in Miami. We spent Thanksgiving together, and it was like the perfect opportunity because we sat down, we looked through the list once more, we decided on the date, we sent out the save the date. And then we also started having conversations with our wedding planning team. Luckily, Pedro has an older brother that already got married, and so Pedro's mom had contact with this amazing, amazing woman who is a wedding decorator, and she is also kind of like a wedding consultant to us because she's like our point of contact if we have any questions, and she's kind of like a family friend too. So we had this Zoom call with her, and we started deciding like on all these details. And again, she's based in Brasilia. She knows everything about weddings there. She knows all the different merchants and suppliers. So she was so helpful. And she started helping us lock in a few really important vendors. So right off the bat, we were like, okay, we have less than a year to plan this wedding. Like, we need to lock in like key people that get booked up. So the main vendors that we had to lock in like pretty much immediately was photographer, videographer, a day of coordinator, catering, and also music. So this amazing, lovely wedding kind of consultant slash decorator starts to send us all of the contacts for these different people. And I start flooding their WhatsApps and just messaging every single person like, hey, I'm getting married on this day. Are you available? And if so, how much do you charge for XYZ service? And this has been one of the interesting parts of my wedding planning journey is that, again, as I said, I'm planning this virtually and my wedding is in Brazil, but everything in Brazil, like literally everything, is done through WhatsApp. And I think it's the most genius, organized thing in the world. And I'm actually so grateful that this is how my wedding planning went because it is so much easier than I think it is in the US. I can't say for sure because I've never planned a wedding in the US, but this is literally how it works. You will message a vendor, and you'll say, hey, are you available on this day, this time for this thing? If they say yes, you're like, okay, amazing. Please let me know how much. They send you like kind of like a quote immediately. Like they have it ready. They just send you a PDF and you read it over and then you kind of talk about it. And then they send you a contract and you pay them the first payment and it's done. It's locked in. So honestly, this kind of made my experience much easier than I expected. And as I said, we kind of locked in these main suppliers right away. It was like really fast because all of our family was together for Thanksgiving, so we kind of got it done. And I have to tell you guys, because there was an aspect of all of this that's such a synchronicity and it's so beautiful and it's just so cool. So as we're talking to our wedding decorator and she's helping us figure out a day of coordinator, she sends us three options. So I messaged the three of them. One of them immediately said she wasn't available because she had a wedding on the same day. And then there were two guys that we were talking to. I messaged both of them. I had set up calls with each of them. And one was on, I think it was like a Friday, and the other one was on a Saturday. So we hop on the first call on Friday. Me, my mom, Pedro, and Pedro's mom. And we start talking to this guy. And he's like telling us all about how it works and how he works and what the relationship with the day of coordinator is like. And we're diving into all the details. And then my mom takes a step back and she's like, wait a minute, I think I know you. And he's like, wait, I think I know you too. And she's like, wait, I think you did my wedding. And it was the craziest, coolest, and cutest thing ever because he did my mom and my dad's wedding. He was their day of coordinator. And I remember my mom had told me before, she was like, yeah, I worked with this guy and he was so good. He was like on top of everything. On the day of the wedding, I like was not worried at all. I was super present. I let go of the reins and he took over and it was amazing. And he's going to be our day of coordinator. Like immediately it was like, okay, this is too much of a synchronicity for us not to work with this guy. So we decided immediately that we were going to hire him and he's absolutely incredible. He's such a joy. He's such a character and so fun and charismatic and just has strong opinions. He tells you like it is. And it's just so cool that we had to work with him and that it worked out in this way because my parents got married, I think a little bit over 30 years ago. And he started working as a wedding day coordinator like 32 years ago or something. Like he was just starting his career in the field and my parents were one of his first clients. And now 30 years later, here he is doing one of his first client's daughter's wedding. Like so cool, so magical. So that was really fun to experience that. And also like our DJ is the son of one of my mom's friends and our catering is going to be done by Pedro's cousin and her husband who's like a chef in Brasilia. And as I said, our wedding decorator is like a family friend and she's good friends with Pedro's aunt. So there's a lot of aspects of our wedding that has this kind of synchronicity energy to it, which has been really beautiful and something I'm very grateful for that I got to experience. But that said, something that I've realized a lot about the wedding planning process and became clear to me pretty soon is that there are so many different things that happen when you're planning a wedding and it involves so many little details, so many different vendors, so many contracts, so many different things going on. So as someone, you know, who likes a to-do list, like you never fully get the feeling of the dopamine hit of like, oh my God, I did it. It's done. The task is finished. Because you're only gonna like fully feel the dopamine hit on the day of the wedding, like when you're living out the wedding. So very early on, I realized this and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make the process as enjoyable as possible. Instead of always focusing on the result and getting to check something off, I just was like, okay, let me enjoy the process. Like, let me have fun with it. Let me be in the moment. Let me be joyful as much as possible. Because obviously there's elements that can be stressful and time consuming. But I think this was something I told myself early on as a bride. And I think it helped me a lot because it took off a little bit of the pressure. And I think also compared to other brides, like I've realized this more and more, is because Pedro and I decided to do things the way we did and we did the Hawaii ceremony, and we are technically already husband and wife, and we do feel that way, I think it's taken off a whole layer of pressure from my experience that I think a lot of brides feel, right? I think for a lot of brides, when like the wedding day is like the big day, and let's say you sign the paper like 3 days before, or a week before, or on the day of the wedding, you're like having this huge, huge, huge pressure and buildup leading up to the day of the wedding, which I think is why a lot of brides like get really anxious and like freaked out. But because I already know, like, we're in it for the long run. Like, we're technically already husband and wife. It's also made the wedding party and the wedding ceremony we're having in Brazil feel way more fun. And it's helped me look forward to it more and not be so stressed about it. Because I already know that something so chill and spontaneous and laid back was amazing. Inevitably, this big day is going to be amazing. Like, there is no chance that it's not going to be. So I think that also has given me a lot of peace, and it's helped me kind of relax and be a little bit more of a chill bride. And maybe that's why I also didn't make it my whole personality. Who knows? But yeah, we started the wedding planning process with a bang. We were like, foot in the gas, let's do this. But then Pedro and I went and traveled a lot of December. So we ended up actually going to Brasilia for Christmas in the end of December. And that's when we met our wedding day coordinator and our decorator in person for the first time, and had this really cool meeting. And we kind of started talking about little details we wanted to do and things we needed to organize, and kind of like a timeline for what was important to figure out first and what was important to do like later down the line, what wasn't like so urgent. So it was really nice to have that meeting, but we also were just kind of like, okay, it's the holidays, it's Christmas, it's New Year's, like we're not going to fully worry about this right now. We're not going to really touch this until we're back in New York in January. So once we were back in New York and it was the new year, that's when we like picked up the rest of the wedding planning that wasn't like the main vendors. So this is when, you know, I had to start talking to my bridesmaids and asking them to be a part of my bridal party. And we started booking like smaller vendors, like makeup artists. And that's when we started thinking about like wedding dresses and like bridesmaids dresses and colors and a lot of these other things. And in terms of like the vendor experience, that's pretty much how my experience was with most of the vendors in Brazil. It was just like, okay, you find the vendor on WhatsApp, you message them, they send you how much it is, and you like figure it out. And I feel like it's important for me to disclose this just because I know for a lot of brides, you know, like finances, it's a big thing. And weddings are so freaking expensive. Like, it's such a huge industry. And things are definitely upcharged when you tell a vendor that you're a bride or that you're getting married or if it's for your wedding. And I do think it's because they want to make it really, really good. But there is also an element of like, it's business and they do charge you more. And so I do think touching on finances might be important for anyone who's a bride out there, and like, just kind of be transparent about my experience. But I'm very, very grateful for the privileges that I have. And like, I'm very, very grateful that my parents and Pedro's parents chose to help us to host this wedding and to cover a lot of the financial costs. Because of that, I think it's also eliminated an element of stress for me. And I am aware of my privilege, and it's something that I do not take for granted, not a single moment. And I think that's why it's also been really awesome, you know, to be able to do this with my mom and with Pedro's mom, and to really bring them into it and to include them and to value their opinion and to not be like that bossy bridezilla that is just like, my way or the highway, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Like, no, like that's not how I wanted to show up as in the wedding planning process. And I really wanted to, you know, express my gratitude for my mom and my mother-in-law and our families like throughout this entire planning process as much as I possibly could. So I just wanted to be transparent about that. There are some elements of the wedding, of course, that Pedro and I are covering, but if you put it in relative terms, like our parents are definitely helping us out a lot. So yeah, just wanted to be open about that and put all the cards on the table because that's the way I am. But anyway, so yeah, in terms of vendors, that was really interesting. My experience with planning a wedding abroad and having to do it all through WhatsApp was kind of unexpected, but I do think it's way more efficient than in the US where you have to like do it through a website or call them and like they have to email you how much it is, and it's kind of like a delayed and long process. So I do think it helped speed up a lot of things for us, which I'm grateful for. Now, going into 2024, one of the things that definitely became a priority and came up a lot was finding the wedding dress. So I wanted to talk about that with you guys because it was definitely an experience and I learned a lot from it, and a lot came up because of it too. Okay, so let's dive into that. In the middle to end of January, I started to think about this and I literally had no clue what goes into buying a wedding dress. I didn't even know what kind of dress I wanted, what dress would fit my body the best. I had really no idea how it worked, how to book an appointment at a bridal salon. So I'm just gonna give you guys all the tea, all the info. Basically, there's so many different bridal salons. So you have to kind of first figure out what your budget is for your dress, because a lot of websites for bridal dresses, they'll say like, we only sell dresses that are at a minimum $6,000. And then you're like, okay, I'm not going to this bridal salon, you know? So you just have to kind of start figuring out and like looking on Google Maps or on Google or on TikTok, different bridal salons where you live. So I would type like bridal salons in New York on TikTok, or I'd look up like wedding dress shopping in New York on TikTok. And I just started to find these different bridal salons. So I'll tell you guys which ones that I went to. So I went to Anthropologie Weddings, The White Gown, Pronovias, Monique Lhuillier, Jackson James, and Amsala. And Amsala is actually spelled as A-M-S-A-L-E. So you would think it's pronounced Amsale, but it's actually Amsala. And anyway, those are the stories that I went to. So I went to their websites, and then you can just like go straight on there and book an appointment. And for some of them, you do have to pay like a $20 or like $40 appointment fee, which is mainly to like hold you accountable so that you don't no-show. And you can bring, I think, up to like 4 or 5 guests. But most of the bridal appointments I went to, it was just me and my mom. There was one appointment that I brought 2 friends, and then another appointment that I brought 1 friend. But it's really sweet. And you go in and you can also tell the bridal salon in advance like which styles you like, or send them a Pinterest board with inspiration, because there are so many dresses. So you get there and you're like, okay, let me just like start trying them on. And these appointments are like 1 hour, max 2 hours. And you know, I originally thought, okay, I'm gonna get there and I'm gonna be able to try on so many dresses. But honestly, like you get to the appointment and you're able to try on like 5 or 6 max. If it's a 2-hour appointment, it's a little bit more, but it's really not that long of a time that you have there. So if you don't like those 5 to 6 dresses, it can be really defeating. And again, as I said, I didn't know what I wanted. I knew the kind of wedding I was going to have and what would work and what wouldn't, you know, like we're having a garden outdoor wedding. So I knew I couldn't have like a really, really heavy dress, or there were certain elements of the dress that I knew I didn't really want, but I also was not one of those brides that was like, this is exactly the dress I want, and I'm only gonna look for these dresses. Like, I didn't start off the process like that. So I was very open, and I wanted to figure out what would flatter my body type the best, right? Was it a like V-neck? Was it a halter? Was it strapless, or was it with sleeves? I didn't really know what I would like, so I just kind of tried on everything. So by my like 5th or like 6th appointment, I was able to get in there and be like, I like this, this, and this, and this. The rest, I don't even want to try. So like originally, I was convinced that I was going to have an A-line dress. But then as I started trying them on, I was like, wait, I don't know if I want an A-line dress. So it's this back and forth. But another aspect of the wedding dress shopping experience too is that they don't have every single size in the store. So they put you in this dress, and then it's usually a bigger size, but sometimes they don't have a bigger size. They just have a much smaller size. And in most cases for me, it was a bigger size. And then they would like clip me and kind of simulate what the dress would look like in my body if it was tailored to my size and like ordered in the correct size. But it's really triggering, especially if you've struggled with body dysmorphia, because you're like in this fitting room. Most of the times you get naked in front of the person that works in the store, and like she's clipping you in and the dress doesn't fit exactly to your body. So you have to kind of like guesstimate what it's going to look like. And it's, I don't know, it can be triggering. It was definitely triggering for me, and I'm very open about my struggles with my body, but it definitely was not the best experience. Like it wasn't. And I remember at the end of the second day, my mom and I had gone to Pronovias and Monique Lhuillier, and I had an awful experience at Monique Lhuillier. Her dresses are beautiful, but the person that helped me that day was awful. Like, she was not friendly at all. And it's so important to be friendly to the bride. Like, the bride is literally going to the wedding store to find the dress for like a really important day for her, right? The minimum that the people that work there can do is like make them feel comfortable and like, I don't know, joyful. And this woman was like giving zero shits. Like, she was not really trying to make me enjoy the experience. So I remember just getting back home and bursting into tears with my mom and being like, oh my God, like, I don't like anything that I've tried on. I don't feel good. I feel like so sad. And I was just defeated. I was not feeling good about the whole thing. And the experience was just not being that pleasant too, because like my mom also didn't want to hurt my feelings. So she didn't like fully want to tell me if she didn't like something, or she was like feeling like she was walking on eggshells. And I also will say that, like, touching on the topic of like doing this with my mom, before this year, I feel like my mom and I had grown apart a little bit. And the experience of planning this wedding together has really brought us closer. And I'm so grateful for that, because she's literally one of my best friends in my life, and I feel like I can go to her with anything. And it's been really, really special to get to do this with her and to feel this closeness again. So I do think that that's a huge benefit that I've experienced from planning a wedding with her and from having her by my side, is just like this renewed sense of closeness that we have now. Because we talk like literally every single day. But anyway, she was with me through the entire process of finding the wedding dress. And it was just really interesting because I think I also went into it with the expectation that I was going to like try on the dress and be like, this is it. I found it. This is the one. It feels amazing. It feels perfect. And genuinely, that is not how I felt, which I think is why, like, as a peeling perfectionist, I struggled so much with this feeling of like, it's not going how I expected. But I kept on going. I kept on going to my appointments. And the day after that day, I had only one more appointment. And it was supposed to be my last one. And so we're waking up, we're like getting into the subway, we're on the way to this fitting. And I called this other salon, Jackson James, which I had walked by. And I was like, hey, like, can I come in for a fitting with my mom tomorrow? I booked the appointment. This was for a Friday. And then as we're getting into the subway, I'm like scrolling on Instagram. And they were able to fit me in, so it was great. I scheduled it for the next day. And then we're getting into the subway, we're going into the city, and I'm scrolling on my phone, and an Instagram ad pops up. And of course, Instagram ads are smart, right? They can tell what you're looking for at the time because you start searching for it on Google or like talking about it or looking it up on Instagram, and then they start showing you ads for the things you're looking for. So I low-key love Instagram ads for that reason. But as we're going into the subway, an Instagram ad pops up for this bridal salon called Amsala. And I was like, wait, let me like click this. The dresses look pretty. I start scrolling through. I'm like, wait, every single dress is beautiful. And I was able to book an appointment like straight from their website. And they had an availability that same day, a little bit later in the afternoon. So I was like, perfect. I have two additional fittings. This is great. This will guarantee hopefully I find the dress. And if I don't find anything this week, I'll just have to keep going to more fittings on my own because my mom was leaving to go back to Florida like on Saturday or something or Friday night. So we go into the fitting we had that morning and I found a dress I really liked. And then we go to Amsala that afternoon and I'm like, zero expectations. I'm like, I'm not really familiar with this brand. I think I already found a dress I really like. I can go with this one. And the moment that we stepped into the bridal salon, which is in Soho, my mom and I were like, okay, we're in a different ballgame here. Like, this place is amazing. And they were treating us with so much attention, with so much care. I felt so seen and understood. I also was like super clear at that point with what I liked and didn't like. And so we start trying on the gowns. And I swear, the first gown I put on, our jaws were on the floor. I was like, oh my God, this is where I'm going to get my bridal dress from 100%. And we had a blast. And the moment that I put on the dress that I ended up picking as my wedding dress, my mom was crying. She was like, this is the one. And I did feel it. You know, I felt comfortable. I felt like myself. It aligned with like the vibe we were going for the wedding. And honestly, it wasn't what I was expecting I was going to go for at first. So that was interesting. But it was a really beautiful moment and it was special. And I think through all the ups and downs and feeling self-conscious about my body and just feeling this body dysmorphia get triggered a little bit and just the whole nine yards, the whole thing that I just mentioned, even through all of that, it was worth it, you know, because we got to experience this moment of joy and bliss and being like, oh my God, we found it. So we left the store and we were like, okay, we have one more fitting tomorrow at Jackson James. Let's see how it goes. But I think this is the one. Like, we already had the feeling. So we literally left there. We like went to a dinner. We had some wine. Pedro joined us and we were just like so happy and just overjoyed that we had found the dress, most likely. So the next morning we go to the store and I was like, I'm not even really trying here because I think I already know what I'm going for. But tried on a few dresses. They honestly were not very comfortable, but I was like, okay, we're doing the thing, whatever. We leave Jackson James, we walk right to Amsala. I'm like, okay, this is the dress, like we're going. So we go back in and we're like, hey, we were here yesterday, like we loved the dress, we're gonna buy it. And it was beautiful. We cheered, we had champagne. And then my mom and I got to like celebrate and just like enjoy the rest of that night before she left the next day. But yeah, it was just such a special experience at the end of the day, even though it was hard. And if you're a bride and you're like starting to look at dresses, just like be patient with the process. Don't put that much pressure on yourself. And also remember that, like, you're gonna find it. It's gonna be fine. And you don't have to put that much pressure on the dress. Like, I know everyone's like, oh my God, what's the bride's dress gonna be, et cetera. Like, it's a big part of the wedding and, like, wanting to, like, love your dress. But you will find one. Like, just trust the process and keep going. And that kind of brings me into another topic that I wanted to talk about regarding the wedding and regarding even wedding dress shopping, which is the pressure that is put on brides to look a certain way. And I kind of want to give my take on it because I think this is something that comes up so much for so many brides. And it's so rampant and obvious on social media that this is a thing, right? It's like, someone gets engaged, it's like, okay, I'm going to get into the best shape of my life. I'm going to lose all this weight. I need to look perfect. I need to do all this, like, facials. And I don't know. It's just a lot of pressure that's put on the bride. And something that I had heard pretty early on around the time of the wedding dress shopping that helped me a lot was at the very, very end of it, when it really comes down to it, the wedding day is about you and your partner and the love that you share and celebrating that. That's what matters. Even though you're pretty much, like, in the spotlight, that's the most important thing at the end of the day. Like, that's all you should really, really focus on if you ever start getting caught up in a loop of putting pressure on yourself to look a certain way. And it's something I have done over and over and over. And something else too that my sister-in-law told me that helped me a ton is she told me that when she was a bride, she had a conversation, I think, with a cousin or an aunt. And this person told her that, you know, when you look back at your wedding pictures, you want to feel like yourself. Like, you want to look at those pictures and be like, oh my God, I look like me. Like, I look like my natural self, first of all. And also, if you go through this whole thing and you lose all this weight for your wedding, you're probably going to spend the whole rest of your life being like, oh my God, that was, like, the best shape of my life. I'm never going to look like that again. Like, I don't think that's a very, very positive and self-loving thing to do, right? Like, I don't wanna be in my, like, 30s and 40s and, like, later in my life and look back at my wedding and be like, oh my God, I'm never gonna look that good again. So that just kind of helped me a lot with this whole situation. But I do think, you know, it is valid to want to feel really good in your wedding and want to, you know, feel like you're not, like, inflamed and whatnot. So yes, like, I prioritize eating healthy meals and, like, taking care of my gut and drinking water and working out, but I do that anyway. Like, I've been doing this for years. And so I did not change anything regarding my routine, regarding my self-care for the wedding. Like, I did not go on a wedding diet. I did not try to lose weight for the wedding. I did not, like, force myself to do really intense exercise. I don't even weigh myself. Like, I don't even weigh myself. So this is just something that I had to be super, super, super intentional with, because it's very easy to fall into the trap of, like, this is the norm. Like, this is what every bride does, you know? Or be like, oh, I need to look my best. And then you go and you start doing things that are, like, either restrictive or intense or just not very loving. And then most of the time that you're, like, prepping for this wedding, you're just, like, hyperfixating on your weight or your body, or you're, like, body checking, or you're struggling with body dysmorphia, or, like, any of these things. And it might happen anyway, but I do think, for me, this was something I set an intention on very early on. I was like, I'm just going to live my life and take care of myself, and I'm not going to let myself hyperfixate on this. And that's just how I chose to do it. And it's been really important for me to do it. I think it's caused me to also recommit to my purpose, which is to empower women to work on their relationship with themselves first and, like, look within. You know, are you happy with yourself? Like, are you proud of yourself? Are you saying the things you're going to say? Are you committing to yourself? And are you kind to yourself with how you talk to yourself every single day, like, with your thoughts and with the things you think about and the things you say out loud? This is something that matters to me way more than, like, how much I weigh or the amount of body fat that I have in my body, you know? So this is something that I think more brides need to just kind of get real with themselves about. Like, it's okay to want to feel good at your wedding, but is it worth it to go through, like, crazy extremes to get there and then to just, like, probably revert back to how you were doing things after the wedding? Like, I personally don't think so. So I do think, for me, this has been a big thing with the wedding planning and just something I've had to be really watchful of, because ever since I got engaged, And I was like the first of like pretty much every single person I knew to get engaged, except for like one or two friends. There's been a lot more people getting engaged, and I think this is going to continue becoming a bigger topic of conversation as we get into our 30s and as we get older and more people get married. So just realize that just because a lot of people do something doesn't mean it's right or good for you. Like, there's so many things that are normalized in society that are not the best. And just because something is normalized doesn't mean you should do it too. So really question things and question how it makes you feel. And if it makes you feel like shit, don't do it. Like, you don't have to do it. Do it in a way that works for you. Like, choose to live your life in a way that works for you, right? I choose to lift weights and go on walks and like eat a lot of balanced meals that prioritize protein because that's what makes me feel good. I choose to drink matcha way more than coffee because I know that if I drink coffee, I usually have an energy crash at 3 p.m. and I feel horrible. So I don't drink it that often, even though I love the taste. Like, there are certain things that you will have to just like explore and learn about your own body, and you'll just have to figure out how your body responds to things and base it off of that. Like, don't base it off of like the reflection in the mirror or like wanting to look a certain way to receive validation and for everyone to be like, oh my God, she's so pretty, like for 24 hours on your wedding, you know? It's way more time that goes into like the pre-wedding than on the actual day of the wedding. So that's my little spiel on body image as a bride. It's something that I've been very like, I'm putting my foot down on this. Like, it's just how I chose to navigate it. And I think it has served me. I think it's made me happier. I think it's made me feel less stressed. I think it's made me feel proud of myself. And so I definitely recommend to other brides to kind of approach it in this way. And we're getting close to an hour in this episode. I did not expect it to be this long, but there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about that has been really interesting to me that I kind of already touched on. But it's this fact that I have been the first of a lot of my friends to get engaged and to be a bride. When I got engaged, as I said, I only knew one to two people that were either married or engaged. And ever since I got engaged, there have been more people that also got engaged. But that said, out of my close-knit group of friends, like out of like my bridal party, which is 10 girls, one of them is married and everyone else is either not in a relationship or dating but not engaged. And the only person in my bridal party that is married is my sister-in-law. She's married to Pedro's brother and she's 5 to 6 years older than me. But when she got married, I wasn't dating Pedro yet and I actually didn't end up going to their wedding because I was doing an internship and I couldn't. So I wasn't close to her when she was a bride. And she has been someone I have definitely leaned on as much as I can with this whole process. And she's been amazing and such a good friend. But aside from her, none of my friends have been in my situation. And I think it's been very unique to navigate this because my friends don't really know what I'm going through. Like, it's kind of strange going through something and feeling like no one can relate. And so there were moments throughout this process that I felt alone and I felt like no one could understand me and that maybe no one cared that much that I was getting married. And it's not my friend's fault. Like, I am able to understand that. They just have never been through this experience and they've never been brides themselves. So they don't know what's going on exactly, right? Like, when you are engaged and you're planning a wedding, it does take up a lot of your time. And it's something that you're constantly thinking about. So if you're not going through it, it's not something you're constantly thinking about. It's not something that's crossing your mind all the time. And you might not even know everything that goes into it to ask about it. And so a lot of my friends, they just didn't know what to ask, you know, hey, how is figuring out your tablescape going? Hey, what are you thinking for like your cocktails? Are you doing any signature cocktails? Like, no, like they wouldn't know to ask that. And, you know, they would ask like, how's wedding planning going? And like, I could tell them a little bit, but I just didn't feel like they were that interested in it sometimes. And that was kind of sucky, but it's okay. I have a lot of compassion and I understand that it's just like not something they're going through, so it's really hard for them to fully put themselves in my shoes. And one day they will be engaged and they'll be brides and I'll be there for them and I'll know exactly what to ask and hopefully how to support them. But I'm very grateful for my friends and like they've been lovely. Even though they didn't fully understand exactly everything that went into it, they were still super supportive in their own ways. But I will say that that is a big part of being the first to get married. And it's just something that was a part of my experience that affected me, but I learned from it and it brought me closer to other people in my life, like my sister-in-law, like my mom, like my mother-in-law, and even Pedro. You know, it's just shifted the focus of the moment away from like, oh, my friends totally get me, to like, okay, I'm gonna lean on my family, I'm gonna lean on my partner. And that's just been kind of how I've learned to deal with it. And if you're someone who's the first of your friends to get married, or you were, hopefully you relate and you feel a little bit less alone. I'm curious to know what your experience was like, if anyone listening was the first of their friends to get married, but that was just something that I was not expecting going into the wedding planning. And then the last thing too, that was a big learning for me and something that was also kind of a challenge and something I did not expect, was that going into the wedding planning, right? We decided, okay, we're having our wedding in Brazil. And a big part of why we decided to do that is because most of my family lives in Brasilia. Most of Pedro's family lives in Brasilia or Rio. So like, I want to say like 85% of our family is in Brazil. So for our family to make it to the wedding, it would be like a piece of cake. And also because Pedro and I lived in Brazil for a large chunk of our lives, we have a lot of family friends that are also in Brazil. So all those people are coming to the wedding. Like, most of those people don't have an issue with making it. But for everyone else, like my friends that I have made for the other half of my life, like since the end of middle school, beginning of high school, you know, so friends from Chicago, friends from Florida, friends from Philly when I went to college, and even my New York friends, for them, going to Brazil for a wedding is a destination wedding. And same thing with Pedro's friends from college and post-grad. Whereas for everyone else, it's not a destination wedding. It's just like a local wedding in like a nearby city or in the city they live in. So that's been a duality we've had to navigate with the people coming to the wedding, but mostly our friends that are not family friends. And I was kind of the Lulu, I think, like going into inviting friends to my wedding. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like the first of all these people to get married. Everyone's going to be so excited to come, like my college friends and friends that I've made through social media. And after sending out the save the dates, and then the official wedding website and like the official invite, the whole thing was very eye-opening because a lot of people are not able to make it or just decided not to go for their own reasons. And I think as a sensitive person, as someone who has a big heart, and as a girl that just like wanted to experience her wedding with all of her friends around her, it was really hard to navigate people saying no. You know, I do think a lot of brides experience this, where you like start to invite everyone to your wedding and you're like, everyone's gonna be so excited, like everyone's gonna be there. And then it's not exactly like that. And it was not something I had prepared mentally for. And so dealing with people saying no was a challenge for me. And I understand that, one, my wedding for those people is a destination wedding, right? It's far away. And on top of that, I'm also in my mid-20s. And so are most of my friends. So it's not like we're super established in our careers. A lot of people are not making like a crazy, crazy, crazy amount of money. So spending money on a ticket to go to Brazil, to go to Latin America, to go far away for a wedding is a commitment. And it is a financial decision too. So I understand both of those things. And I get that like some people also haven't gone to Latin America. They don't speak the language. Maybe it intimidates them. And so I had to kind of like navigate this by like letting myself feel my feelings and letting myself feel upset that people were not able to make it, but also try to like be rational as much as I could and like combat that frustration and sadness and heartbreak with logic and with the ability to be compassionate and be like, okay, you know, maybe it was just something they couldn't financially do, or maybe they had another thing they wanted to prioritize. And there were people who were really, really sweet in how they said no and actually really tried to make it work, and then for different reasons weren't able to make it. But like, I could tell there was a genuine effort there on their part. And there were other friends that were really kind of like flaky, some people that literally didn't even answer my text, or like other people that said yes and then said no, like 2 months before the wedding, and like just didn't buy tickets and didn't organize themselves. And then literally like 2-3 months before the wedding said they couldn't go anymore. And like, that hurt my feelings, you know? Like, I'm not gonna sit here in the podcast and be like, oh yeah, you know, that was like easy peasy to navigate. It wasn't. And that's something that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, because I like being vulnerable and real with my human experience and the things that I learned from it. but this was something that was a challenge. And I had to just like make peace with the fact that like, it's fine and they're not going to be there. But I don't know, I'm also just like a girl and I wanted to be able to have my wedding and have that moment and have all these people that I care for and that I've considered my friends up until this point there. And as I said, like the hardest part of it was the people that like either didn't answer or really kind of like dry or just like kind of distanced themselves from me throughout this process, or just other people that didn't really like explain why they couldn't come and just said like, ah, sorry, I can't make it. And I think this whole process too just made me kind of question my friendships and how I define a friend. And it's a very, very complex thing because two things can be true at once. You know, someone could not be able to make it to my wedding and still consider me a friend that they care for. But I think, I don't know, I just considered this such a special moment in my life. And there were people that I wanted to share this moment with that didn't really make an effort to go, or I don't know, that I just felt didn't really give a shit. And so I had to kind of have this rude awakening about navigating all of this and asking myself, who is my real friend? And who is making an effort? And who's coming because they're making an effort? Who really made an effort and can't come? And then who did not make an effort and is not coming? And what does that say about our friendship? And like, should I be prioritizing this friendship? So this is something that I've been mulling over a lot on my own, and honestly with Pedro and my mom as well, but just trying to like navigate it. And like, there have been tears that were shed, there were moments that were sad. And it's funny because I was talking to a friend and she was telling me kind of like the other side of things, you know, how some people get really like annoyed to be invited to a destination wedding and they're like, oh, like it's so annoying that I have to like pay for this and I have to like travel so far for this wedding. But I genuinely like don't see life that way. And like, I'm the type of person that, like, if I'm invited to, I don't know, like Paris for a wedding, I'm like, oh my god, f yes, like I'm going, like I'm so excited to be there. And I'm also gonna go and like go to Lyon, or like I don't know, go somewhere else in France and like make a trip out of it. And that comes with privilege and I understand that, but it's just the way I am. Like, I just love and I will like try my best to like make it to someone's wedding and also to be excited if it's a destination wedding. And because I am like the first of my friends to get married, and also I've only been to like 3 weddings in the last few years, this is not something I've ever felt. So it's not something I expected other people to maybe feel about my wedding, or in general, it's not something I expected to happen, that people I cared for and have considered my like really important friends in my life like just can't go to my wedding. And maybe they can't go for a legitimate reason, but maybe they can't go because they like didn't even try, or because they don't really care that much to be there and they had other priorities, you know, other trips they wanted to prioritize, other things they wanted to prioritize. So it's been definitely a part of my inner growth the last couple of months, you know, navigating all of this, figuring out what it means for each of those friendships and how I feel about that person, how I feel about them not being there. But I also, as I said, I'm having a very big wedding. Like, there's gonna be 350 people there no matter what. So it's gonna be an amazing party. It's gonna be an amazing day and weekend. And it's just what I keep reminding myself of as I have had to navigate these no's. And it's just been all a big learning lesson. So that was something I really wanted to talk about on the podcast, because it's something that is not that talked about. At least I haven't seen anyone else talk about it. And I felt really alone in how I felt, because I was like, oh, no one gets it. Like, I'm out here like so sad and dealing with this like heartbreak and like this feeling of like, oh my God, these friends don't care about me. And like, that's not at all the case in each of those instances, but it's just how like I felt, and I'm human, you know, and like I just was in my feels. And so it was hard, but we made it through and we learned a lot. And I think it put a lot of things into perspective for me, and it's been an experience. So that's the last thing I wanted to mention. I feel like we touched on so much in this episode, and I really felt like I was just like catching up with a friend on FaceTime and just filling my friend in on everything that has happened in the last like 9 to 10 months of my life with the wedding planning. But it's been a journey, and I literally can't believe that it's so soon. Right before I sat down to record this episode, I was packing and I realized that like my wedding dress does not fit in my carry-on bag. And so I had to like order a garment bag from Amazon that's coming tomorrow. And then the day after tomorrow, I am leaving New York and I won't be back for like 3 weeks, almost a month. I think basically a month actually. So yeah, the wedding's right around the corner, and I actually had a lot of fun recording this. So stay tuned for next week's episode, which will be with Pedro, and we'll talk about like how we're feeling about the wedding and just do a fun little couples episode. And after that episode, I'm actually going to be taking a small break from the podcast, but don't worry, there will be still episodes that are shared for 3 weeks in August. I'm just going to be resharing some of our most popular and amazing episodes from the catalog, but there's also over 170 episodes in the catalog, so you can tune into those. I'm sure there is an episode or two at minimum that you have not checked out, so I would encourage you to do that if you're looking for a little something to nourish your mind and to fuel you and fuel your mindset for the week while I am in Brazil. I just really wanted to like be able to take a step back and be super present in the wedding and also not be so caught up in work and just be able to be present at the wedding and soak it up as much as possible. So that's what's going to be going down in August, and just keep an eye out for that. And yeah, I am so excited to get married again and for the wedding, and I'm just so grateful that I've been able to have this experience and for everything that it has taught me. And I hope you had fun listening to this episode. I know it was a little bit more of like a girly chat. So DM me if anything resonated, if you learned something new, I don't know, or if you just liked the episode and you liked these more casual conversations, because I would be super open to talking about more chill topics on the podcast as well. And like bringing you guys into my life a little bit more and what's going on in my personal life a little bit more. I think it could be fun. So if you want more episodes like this, definitely let me know, because I'm open to that feedback. And I'm so excited to be back with more episodes in September and to just feel re-inspired after taking this little break. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day and of your week. Don't forget to water yourself, pour into yourself, do some self-care this week, and I'll see you guys very soon with another episode. Bye.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.